The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Six deaths and 23 cases of coronavirus were confirmed yesterday. The National Public Health Emergency Team reported that 77% of the new cases were in those under 25. And the reproduction rate of the virus has now increased to at or above 1 when it was less than 0.5 for a period. Associate Professor in the School of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin, Tomás Ryan is on the line. Tomás, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, tell me, what do yesterday's figures tell you?
Well, I'm getting worried. I was already worried, but I think that the tone that NPHET are striking on this is, it could be a lot clearer. It could be a lot stronger. And when I hear them describe these numbers, it almost comes across like they're trying to be reassuring. I was listening to Philip Nolan this morning on Morning Ireland, and it seems that they're trying to take a very skeptical, reassuring tone that this isn't something to be worried about yet. But from my perspective, this is something that we should be very worried about. Now, the reality is that most of these new cases yesterday are amongst younger people. And there's two ways of looking at this. One is about the real risk to younger people, which is still there, and then the risk to the population. Now, some young people seem to think that COVID-19 is not a threat to them. And it's true that younger people are less vulnerable to COVID-19. They're much less likely to die of it. But even if you look at situations like New York, about 20% of the fatalities in New York State during the height of the pandemic were people who were under 44. So you can see, you know, a lot of these people have pre-existing conditions, but a lot of people have pre-existing conditions. But younger people don't just have to worry about the mortality risk, because of course it's reduced in them, but the morbidity risk, because we know that COVID-19 is a multi-organ disorder, and it affects many parts of the body, including the brain. And reports are coming out where you can see, even in cases of asymptomatic SARS-CoV-2 infection, even in cases where people have been infected with SARS-CoV-2 but have had no detectable symptoms, that scans are showing that they are getting lesions in their lungs. And we have no idea what the long-term health consequences of COVID-19 infection is. But Pat, that's actually really quite secondary to the main issue. And the main issue is not the risk to the individual. The main issue is the risk to the population. Now, it's normal, as the epidemic starts to grow for this virus, that more young people carry the infection. Because we know from countries that have had really good community testing, far superior community testing to Ireland, for example, Iceland, South Korea, Germany, that the majority of people who carry the virus are people who are aged 20 to 40 years old. Children tend not to carry it. It's not because they can't get it. Children can very much get it. It's just they're less exposed to it. They have less opportunity to get it. And older people also tend not to get it because they're out and about less, and they also are more careful. So the majority of people carrying this virus back in March and April were definitely, around the world, people in their 20s to 40s. Mm-hmm. But the really important thing to add on top of that, Pat, is that most of the super spreader events, because remember, 80% of COVID-19 transmission comes from 10 to 20% of cases in super spreader events. Most of the super spreader events are caused by people in their 20s to 30s. So as we
I just want to make a point. The fact that we now know that 77% of the cases are in those under 25, it means that these people were not asymptomatic. They had to been showing some symptoms in order to be tested in the first place. So the idea that people, you know, are just not going to get it, in order for those people to be detected, they have had to be somewhat sick.
Yes, because people in their 20s or 30s will still, even the ones who don't need to be hospitalized, which is most of them, will still get mild symptoms. And it's a limitation of our current testing situation that it's test and hopefully trace now that we have the app up and running. But it's not seek, test, and trace. I think we need a seek, test, and trace system, which means searching out for asymptomatic infections. And given the case fatality rate in Ireland, which now still hovers around 5%, for every confirmed case, there are probably 2 to 3 asymptomatic cases or mildly symptomatic cases that we're not aware of. And they're all floating around in the community. But Pat, the point is that because we're seeing an increase in younger people even reporting symptoms, it's worrying, because then these younger people and the asymptomatic younger people that they're in contact with are more likely to contribute to the further spreading of the virus in the population, because people of this age group are more likely to be the people who are going to contribute to significant super spreader events in the population.
I noted that in Cork, it's some breaking news this morning that all GAA activities at a number of Cork clubs have been suspended because players from clubs came in contact with an individual who has tested positive. So, you know, that's by and large a young cohort of the population. The question of travel, we know that many people having booked holidays and, you know, the conflicting advice about green list countries and those countries to which you shouldn't travel and then lost deposits and all the rest of it. One way or the other, people are going to be taking travel, taking trips outside the jurisdiction. And you're getting feedback from people who have kids of school going age saying, well, if those kids who've just been off to Spain, Portugal, France, Italy or whatever are going back into school in September, if the school's open, well, my kids are not going to mix with them. I mean, we obviously need very clear guidance on the schools question. For example, if you're finishing your family holiday in Spain or somewhere like that, or even in the UK in the last 2 weeks of August, and the schools are opening in the first week in September, should those children be asked to stay home for 2 weeks until they're sure to be clear of COVID?
I think we're, in many respects, it seems as though we're trying to engineer a second surge here, with lack of attention to face masks, with lack of a very strong message on travel, of enforceable travel quarantine. And I think that the new government need to, in the next week, provide a clear strategy, vision, and communication for how we're managing all of these things. We've been debating travel too much over the past week, Pat. We've been debating details about mask wearing. These issues shouldn't be just conversational issues about, well, maybe we can, maybe this is okay, maybe that's okay. We need very clear, strong messaging from government on exactly how we're going to manage these things. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves in the situation that Iran found itself in, that Israel found itself in, that Melbourne is now in, with second surges leading to second lockdowns. And it's also really worth noting, Pat, to speak more to your specific question, that in the recent surge in Melbourne, over 100 of the cases were clustered around a school. That was a secondary school. There were also school outbreaks in Israel. And so far, throughout the story of the COVID-19 pandemic in Ireland, we've been playing things in a very reactive manner. We've been reacting to things, and to a large extent, we've been making it up as we go along. But that's not good enough anymore, because we're in the summer and we're able to plan things preemptively before we get a second surge and we have a new government. And when it comes to coming back to schools in September, this is something that we don't have the option of not planning for it. We can't just react to it. We know it's coming. There's going to be huge hygiene issues. There's going to be huge social distancing issues and staffing issues. And the Department of Education are clearly waking up to this and are trying to make plans for it. I think it's very clear that if you are traveling in a country that has in any way a higher degree of COVID-19 prevalence than Ireland, whether you're a child or not, then you should be self-isolating for 2 weeks on your return. And that 100%. Self-isolation needs to be enforced.
And it should be clearly indicated and mandated by the government. Tomás, thank you very much for joining us. Associate Professor in the School of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin, Tomás Ryan.